The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The Nuggets had the game under control for most of it, including being up by as much as 15 points halfway through the second. Then the Heat caught fire, storming all the way back to tie the game in the third before outscoring the Nuggets in the fourth, 36-25, behind 10 points from Duncan Robinson. All hope wasn't lost, however, as Nuggets had a chance to send the game to overtime with a game-tying three, a shot which Murray took over Butler but missed from the rim, and ending the game and tying the series 1-1. Here's Nuggets coach Mike Malone on his team's effort.
Well, let's talk about effort. I mean, this is NBA Finals, and we're talking about effort. That's a huge concern of mine. You know, we had guys out there that were just, whether feeling sorry for themselves for not making shots or thinking they can just turn it on or off. This is not the preseason. This is not the regular season. It's not round. This is the NBA Finals. And that, to me, is really, really perplexing, disappointing.
Jay, you talked earlier about the resilience of the Miami Heat culture. On the other side of it, is effort the biggest reason the Heat beat the Nuggets?
I don't believe so. And to me, that was directed at Michael Porter Jr. He was the guy last night in watching the game where he just looked lost at times. He got lost off the ball defensively. It led to Heat points. To me, it wasn't about effort. It was about a lack of communication, a lack of execution, and at times a lack of basketball intelligence. The biggest stretch of the game last night, early in the fourth quarter, Duncan Robinson gets hot, the Heat go on a run, they erase that 8-point deficit. That 8-point deficit, that was the biggest stretch of the game. Stephen A, we got the big board. We got the big board. This is exciting.
Thank
Let's
you.
Stand up. We're doing it. Let's
Thank
go.
You.
Let's
Thank
go.
You. Thank you.
I want to show two. I want to show two plays time. Here. This is just simple delay action. All right. So we got Bam at the top of the screen. Gabe Vincent's going to go screen for Duncan Robinson. So let's watch this materialize. So as he's here, look, we got like size, like size. There's no mismatch here. Now, we are taught this. This is literally every team. When you go into the split action and delay, if the guy getting the screen curls to the basket, as Duncan Robinson is about to do right here, automatic switch. Automatic switch. Let's see what happens. Bruce Brown goes with Robinson. Christian Brown doesn't recognize the switch. 3 points, wide open three from Gabe Vincent. Same play, very next possession. We're going to run the same action. Bam up top, right here. Vincent's going to go screen for Duncan Robinson down at the bottom of the screen. He's going to do the same exact thing here. All right? Look at this. Same two players. Back-to-back possessions. Didn't communicate the first time. Let's see what happens here. Duncan Robinson curls it. Easy layup. 5 points right there. 5 points. KCP fouled twice on three-pointers, one of which was on Kyle Lowry, who you got to know jumps forward on his jump shot. That's 6 points. Another play. Aaron Gordon closes out to Jimmy Butler in the corner. He goes for his shot fake from three. It leads to an and one. It wasn't about the effort. It was communication, it was execution, and it was a lack of basketball intelligence. That's why the Denver Nuggets lost the game.
All I have to say is like the visual. Well, sorry, Stephen A., real quick, just being Monday morning quarterback here, I like the visual way better on the big board. I'm just letting you know. That's a little tiny.
Well, that's why I mentioned that this should have happened the first time. So I'm glad that he got the big board.
Oh,
and it looks very good.
Did you see it this time?
Props to you.
Perk,
it was very good. JJ Redick, it was
see
very
it
good.
Last time the
now
was
go ahead, Stephen A. You're fine. Sorry to interrupt you. I just had to say
that. That's number one. But number two, J.J. Redick, with all due respect, I'm going to have to respectfully disagree with you because as you have educated us on many, many occasions, we ain't the coach of a team. If Mike Malone says it's effort, then damn it, it's effort. Okay, and that's what we're going to go with. Now, that's not to say that what you highlighted was wrong, but the fact of the matter is the coach brought out effort for a reason. And I'm going to sit up there and I'm going to throw out a word that, you know, I think you know the definition of it. You're being the brilliant man that you are. And I know KP knows the word as well. And I'm going to say it. I think the word arrogance comes into play. Now, I would know no such thing about those words. I would know no such thing about arrogance. But I will tell you that the Denver Nuggets, I think that that's the word that comes into play. And here's why, in all seriousness, fellas. You know, when you went up against, I'm watching and I'm juxtaposing them against the Los Angeles Lakers compared to them against Miami. They beat the Lakers in game one. Anthony Davis drops 40, but Jokic has a triple-double, 36, 21, and 14. He's absolutely phenomenal, particularly in the first half of that game. He puts on the show, and Mike Malone comes into the press conference lamenting how everybody's talking about what the Lakers need to do to win game two, as opposed to pointing out what Denver did to win game one. They clearly had a chip on their shoulders. Everybody was talking about Tinseltown. They knew people like myself and others were fantasizing about being in Tinseltown rather than Denver, Colorado. And it fed into this chip that they've had on their shoulders for the vast majority of this season that I believe has served a role in propelling them to this point. And so you get that done. Not only do you get it done, you sweep the Los Angeles Lakers. Then you transition to the NBA Finals. Now you're the hunted because you're the prohibitive favorite. Everybody outside of Kendrick Perkins practically believes you're going to win this series, if not literally. You got guys like Jay Williams saying they're going to get swept. The Miami Heat are going to get swept. They're not even going to win a game. There is something to be said about being that favorite, making sure you knock off a giant that everybody was looking at and saying, okay, Tinseltown, LA, that's where everybody wants to be. It's LeBron James, it's Anthony Davis, and all of this other stuff. After beating Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. And you say to yourself, okay, we've done what we've done. Now we're the favorites. We know we could take these boys. And you might have let your foot off the gas. I think we saw Mike Malone going off the way that he did because he knows what his team is capable of. He knows they didn't play up to snuff. And in all likelihood, that didn't happen because they kind of took the Miami Heat for granted and they needed a wake-up call. That is my summation of what transpired last night to some degree. Not disagreeing with the plays that you pointed out because they actually happened. I'm just talking about the motivational stuff that he was speaking to. I think that he talked about those things because he recognized his team mentally had a tendency to do what they did last night, which was take their foot off the gas and get burned because of it. That's what I take from it.
Well, first of all, JJ, I love the tape breakdown because you also showed the value of cutting hard for your teammates. And I thought the Miami Heat did an excellent job of cutting hard. May not got the ball, but got somebody a wide open shot. And also, when you cut that hard and you're in there with Duncan Robinson, you have to pay attention because you do have that quick pitch and dribble handoff action with Bam and that guy that's popping back. That's number two. Number three, Michael Malone is calling out his team, but who's calling out Michael Malone? Okay, we talk about how dangerous the two-man game is with Jokic and Jamal Murray, but what happens when that's not going? What happens when Jamal Murray is not going and you do have Jimmy Butler on him, but Jokic do drop 41, and they do start big, and now all of a sudden you taking Aaron Gordon out the game, who are you going to rely on next? And I go back to the bubble, okay? When Michael Porter Jr. actually kind of called out Michael Malone about the offense and said how predictable it is, and I didn't agree with everything Michael Porter Jr. was saying, but I did understand a little bit where he was coming from. Michael Porter Jr. is 6'10". The only thing that we witness out of him is occasionally he get a cut back door for a dunk off of Jokic, or he's standing and being a spacer, and he's getting the ball in the late shot clock area where he's taking sidestep or step back three-point shots, which is cool because he can actually shoot the rock. But how about utilizing him being 6'10", and at times he may have a smaller defender on him and saying, you know what, let me see what he could do on the low block. Because I do know this, if a guy feels involved offensively, he's going to give you everything and more on the defensive side of things. So While Mike Malone is sitting up here calling out his teammates, he got to look himself in the mirror as well, because Eric Spoelstra came in and he had his game plan on point last night on how he wanted to dissect and do things on both ends of the floor. So Michael Malone, I get it. Effort was one thing, but I didn't see too many things Michael Malone did as well. And JJ, you talked about it, bringing Jamal Murray a little bit off the ball, spacing and things to that nature. He got to hold himself accountable. He got to be talking to himself as well, not just his team.
Stephen A., I think this is just a classic example of projection. When you bring up the word arrogance, you know, something doesn't go right. You're like, oh, you know, it's at least you have self-awareness. That's I love it, Stephen A.
Me?
I love it. I love
it. Okay, but I got you.
I actually want to disagree with you. Perk talked earlier about the post-game quotes. I really believe you can learn a lot from reading the quotes in between games about a team's mindset, about things they want to clean up. About potential adjustments.
Absolutely.
Everything that I saw coming out of the Denver Nuggets team was a healthy amount of respect, the recognition of how difficult it would be to beat the Miami Heat four times. I didn't find the arrogance. I also I want to bring up this back up on the effort front. If you watch that second quarter, if you watch the end of the first quarter through the second quarter, Christian Brown flying around, Bruce Brown flying around, Aaron Gordon, this was not an effort game at all to me. There was one guy who looked out of sorts last night. I brought him up. Perk brought him up. He looked out of sorts. You can't allow an off-shooting night. I know, because I had these, right? You can't allow an off-shooting night to affect your focus and your effort and being in the right spot defensively. And that was right. A big problem in that second half. Michael Porter Jr. not having a good offensive night. Got lost multiple times, one of which was the Jimmy Butler when he stepped on the inbounds and threw it to Gabe Vincent for the three. Porter Jr. was man's land on that play. And the last thing I want to say, because I agree to an extent here with Perk, the fourth quarter, their offense, take away the desperation offensive rebound threes at the end of the game that got him back into it. That 10-minute stretch going against that zone, I don't think – the Denver Nuggets have solved the zone. The Heat made the adjustment after game one. They basically played a 1-3-1 where they put somebody at the foul line to take that area away, and the Nuggets had no answer. There was bad offensive possessions in that fourth quarter.
The couple of things that I want to point out, and I'm going to be very, very serious here when I say this. You know, you can dissect it with a fine-tooth comb the way that y'all both did, and there's no disagreement, but two things can be right at the same time, and I think it's incredibly important to bring that out. As both of you, I don't give a damn what I know, and I know my basketball, but I don't know basketball the way y'all know basketball.
Yeah.
It's my job. It's too many. These damn people that come up here as reporters and pundits and columnists that sit on national television and radio and beyond and act like they know what actual participants knew is a disservice to the game, and I will never do that to any player or coach. I want to be very, very clear about that. But that still doesn't mean that I don't know some basketball, and I'm looking at what I'm looking at, and I'm getting where y'all coming from. What I would say to you, JJ and Kendrick Perkins, you both know this to be true. Even though you can dissect everything the way that you said and be right on point, you also know you want to avoid bulletin board material. You want to show due deference and respect to the opposition. You want to say some of the right things. And you know a lot of times, not all the time, not most of the times, but a healthy amount of times, there are combatants, participants who actually lie about what they really feel and how much level of respect that they have for an opponent. It's not always the truth, JJ. So when you talk about those in-between game quotes, you're absolutely right. Because a lot of times, if you're a smart reporter, what you do is you don't just talk to somebody in the throes of action. You make sure you talk to them minutes after the game, hours after the game. You make sure the next day you talk. You get all of those quotes. You get that perspective. It's incredibly healthy and very imperative to grasp. But at the end of the day, you also got to read between those lines, because everybody isn't forthcoming, JJ. They don't always tell the truth. And that's not to disrespect the Miami Heat.
Hold on. I want to let Perk jump in here, but I want to let you finish, Stephen. Who are you talking about?
No, go ahead.
Because you're not talking about saying, Jokic. You're not talking about Jokic. Jokic isn't arrogant. He didn't come into that game with an arrogance. Who are you talking about?
But you're
I want to know.
Hold on.
See that.
Hold on. I'm going to answer your question. I don't mean it like, oh, it's negative. Like, yo, they ain't worth the damn. I'm saying that the Denver Nuggets are supremely confident that this is a team they could and should beat. And from time to time, when you're going up against a particular opponent, you may take your foot off the gas. That's all I mean by that statement when I'm talking about arrogance. I'm not saying Miami's garbage. Oh, they can't play. We ain't worried about them. I'm saying Denver may have very well had the attitude. We can play bully ball. We're the bigger team. We're athletic. We've got perimeter shooting. We have depth. We don't have a problem with offensive efficiency the way that they did. We believe we're the superior team. That's all I mean by that statement. It's not to be taken in a fashion that says Miami ain't worth a damn. Hell with them. Mike Malone was alluding to that, and I'm just saying I understand where he's coming from because I've seen it many times throughout the years of covering the NBA. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. I guess the definition of arrogance versus what I would – I think what you're describing more sounds like complacency. Jump in, Perk. Jump in.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not here to describe the dictionary here. I don't open it up. I'm
exactly.
not here to break that junk down. But here's the thing. This is a point that I wanted to say. When we talk about Michael Porter Jr., JJ, when you were on the Clippers, and this real talk, this is not nothing – I'm seriously – Doc used to run every play, start the game, for DeAndre Jordan, right? You know why? If he get the big fella a bucket, you know you're going to get the 18, 20 rebounds and the 6 blocks because he feels involved. And know that everybody else is going to get involved eventually. Doc used to trick me the same way when I was with the Celtics. Run the first play for me, give me a nice little jump hook, then all of a sudden everything else was for the others, and rightfully so. Last night, I saw Eric Spoelstra, the second player of the game, run an action for Max Strus to get him a wide open three, his first three that he hit of the game. I'm going back to your point of Michael Malone, where Michael Porter Jr. is. Get him involved. Every player is different. Every player is different. But throw him a bone or two, and you might see that defensive effort increase. Now, as a professional, he's supposed to get on there with no agenda anyway. But as a coach, you got to get the best out of your player. You got to find out how to do it.
All right. We're going to leave it there, guys. Denver is a 2.5-point favorite, Game 3 from Miami.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Denver ball. They got 2 timeouts. They're down 3. They're not going to use the timeout. Here's Murray at the top. Butler defending with 4. Murray step back for the tie at 3. No good! Rebound Miami! The Heat have won it! 111 to 108. Miami with the win. And the series is tied at 1.
All right, it was a struggle for Jimmy Butler for much of the game as he scored 13 points on 14 field goal attempts, but he flipped the switch in the fourth, scoring 8 of his 21 in the fourth, including 6 straight, to put the Heat up with 7 with 6 minutes left in the fourth. Stephen, I want to start with you here. Do you feel like Butler's play is satisfactory for the Heat to win this series?
Not for me. He's averaging 17, 8, and 5. He's shooting better than 42% from three-point range. He's not shooting 40% from the field. JJ, I'm of the mindset that as a series progresses, obviously tweaks occur. We understand modifications take place in the game plan. But at the end of the day, you pretty much know what's going down. And it comes down at some point to giving some being able to give somebody the ball and say, take me there. And I think that if you are the Miami Heat, Bam Adebayo's not that guy, although very, very good and anchors their defense. Kyle Lowry's not that guy. Max Strus is not that guy. Duncan Robinson's not that guy. Caleb Martin's not that guy. It has to be Jimmy Butler. And I think that when you're going up against a guy like Jokic, combined with a guy like Jamal Murray, and you've got that kind of two-headed monster that you have called, JJ, the best tandem in basketball, we all know to be the best tandem in this postseason. When that kind of stuff is going on, you need Jimmy Butler to be what has been affectionately known as Playoff Jimmy. You need him to be that guy. You need him to be, dare I say, a bit more assertive as the series wanes. You definitely need him to be a bit more productive offensively to me in order to win this series, to have a chance to beat Denver in this series. I don't think what we're seeing from Jimmy Butler is enough because I don't think the other guys are going to be able to continue to do what they're doing as this series wanes. I think it's going to come down to what Jimmy Butler can do for you.
Yeah. I'm going to disagree with you to an extent because I agree with the point that for them to win the series, he's going to have at least one or two Jimmy-type playoff games where he goes nuts offensively. But if That's you look at this run outside of a couple of examples where Jimmy did go crazy, the Heat's formula is fairly simple. You know, it's defense, disruption using the zone, making threes, and a lot of those come off of Jimmy's passes, have it be a close game, have it be in the mud at the end of the game, and then Jimmy's going to take us home. And what happened last night? They shot 49% from three. They disrupted the flow of the game with their zone in the fourth quarter. And then when it was winning time, Jimmy made the key plays that extended the lead. He had the three from the corner. Closeout, Aaron Gordon closeout, drove him and won. Then he hits the pull-up from the elbow. Like, to me, the formula last night, would you like him to make some of those 7-8 footers? Yeah, of course. But the formula last night is how Miami ultimately is going to win this game. The other thing, Stephen A., let's not get caught up in the box score. I didn't think you brought up his final stats. I didn't think he played well in game one. I thought he played great last night because you also have to include the two-way impact he had from guarding Jamal Murray. And that may be just as important as a 35-point offensive night.
But you understand what I'm saying, Jay. Don't act like you don't get where I'm coming from. I mean, I get your point. But what I'm saying is, as the series wanes, it's going to come down to those moments. I mean, listen.
And he did step up in that moment last night. I don't understand why you won't acknowledge that.
I'm not accusing him of not stepping up. What I'm saying is that I need him to be that Jimmy. Like you just pointed out, it's going to be one or two games where he needs to be that potent offensive dude, where things break down and you just give him the ball and you say, hell with the game plan, take us there. There's moments when you could do that with Jokic. There's moments when you could do that with Jamal Murray. I'm saying there needs to be a moment or two where you're going to have to do that with Jimmy Butler because you're not winning the championship if that doesn't happen. I don't believe the formula that you accurately said that they've used thus far in getting to this point. For the vast majority of the times, of course, you're going to spread the basketball. You're going to get your perimeter shooting from other players. Jimmy Butler's going to be the one to set them up. No problem. But I'm saying we have had those moments where Jimmy Butler has risen to the occasion and he's really elevated his level of play and let you know that there's a difference between him and everybody else on his squad. And I'm saying to you, that's what he's going to need to do to beat Denver, because Denver can do that when all else fails. You're going to need that from Jimmy in order to beat Denver and win the championship. That's all I'm saying.
Fair. Fair. Fair.
We're going to leave it there, guys, because we're up against it here.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits, like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take pod. Have a fabulous day. Denver dropped to 0-3 this postseason when Jokic scores 40 or more points compared to Game 1 when Jokic had 14 assists. He only got 4 assists in Game 2. Interesting adjustment. Take a listen to Spo on the idea of making Jokic a scorer.
This guy's an incredible player. You know, twice in 2 seasons he's been the best player on this planet. You can't just say, oh, make him a scorer. That's not how they play. They have so many different actions that just get you compromised. We have to focus on what we do. You know, we try to do things the hard way, and he requires you to do many things the hard way. He has our full respect.
Big Perk, I want to start with you here. Do you feel like the Heat's blueprint on Jokic is going to work throughout this entire series?
Hell yeah, it's gonna work, Molly. That's why they're gonna win the series. And one, let me tell you why it's gonna work, because we don't know the blueprint. We don't know what Eric Spoelstra is thinking. Game to game, when it comes down to making adjustments, he surprised us every single time. So while we're sitting up here thinking that he's probably making Jokic just score points and take away everybody else, we don't know what Spo is thinking. We don't know what type of personnel he's going to put out there. We don't know the type of defense he's going to do. Just like last night, out of timeouts. We don't know when he's going to decide to go trap Jamal Murray and things to that nature. So, yes, it's going to work because we actually don't know the blueprint. We don't. We don't know what Eric Spoelstra is going to do. And that's why it makes him the best coach in basketball. But what we should be asking is the Denver Nuggets blueprint going to work for us making Bam Adebayo a scorer? Is that blueprint going to work? Because Bam been having it his way as well. And I know he had, 26 points on 25 shots in game one, but last night he was efficient. Those little pocket passes and getting to the rack and those little floaters, they were there all night long. I saw him pushing in transition, initiating the offense. He actually was the point when Kyle Lowry wasn't on the floor. So that's the question we should be asking, because we actually don't know the blueprint for us when it comes down to Eric Spoelstra.
Go ahead, JJ.
Perk, you know this as well as anyone. Within a series, game to game, the flow, the style, the strategy changes. I tend to sort of side with Eric Spoelstra on this, in that Jokic is going to figure something out and become a playmaker. They do too many things. If you go back to that Phoenix series when he had 53 in game four, a lot of those were in the post, and they weren't doubling him. What did they do in games five and six? They put him at the top of the key. They got into all their delay action. They got into all their back screens and cuts. He had a triple-double in both those games. There's going to be just fundamentally an emphasis on off-ball movement for the Denver Nuggets. They need it for Jamal Murray. They need it for Michael Porter Jr. And Jokic is smart enough, like a LeBron James, to navigate the changes from game to game that occur in a playoff series. So you're asking a lot of the Miami Heat, and they did a great job last night, of their off-ball defense. And, you know, I spoke about Bam's quotes about the cutting game being so important. I just don't buy this, like, oh, we turned him into a scorer and we won. No. You won because of the fourth quarter zone defense. You won because Jimmy had some clutch buckets at the end. You won because the bench, specifically Duncan Robinson, executed their offense at the start of the fourth quarter and got you back in the game. There's a lot of things that go into a basketball game to distill it down to, oh, we made Jokic a scorer, so that's why we won. I just inherently disagree with that.
Well, you should, if somebody tried to make it as simplistic as that. But I will say this. The Denver Nuggets are 0-3 this postseason when Jokic scores 40 or more. They're 13-1 when he scores fewer than that. So I understand what people are thinking, although, again, it's not that simple. But what I would say to you, Perk, is this. The reason why I believe this blueprint, this so-called blueprint on Jokic, and why it will not work the rest of the series, because I've got Denver winning this series, because I don't think it comes down to Jokic. I think it comes down to Jamal Murray, who obviously didn't have the greatest offensive game last time. I mean, it was the first time in the last six or seven games he scored less than 25 points. We understand what he brings to the table and what kind of impact that he has. Here's what I will say to you. I will piggyback off of your initial comments to open the show about Jokic. When you talked about his greatness, you didn't just talk. I know you brought up the fact that he can put the ball in the hole and he can score buckets, but you also talked about his ability to facilitate. You also talked about the myriad of things he brings to the table. So I'm saying to you, that dude, Jokic, if we noticed what, quote unquote, the blueprint was, he notices too. And as JJ just said, alterations are inevitable. They will come as the series progresses. I believe Jokic will adjust, and whatever blueprint the Miami Heat throws in his direction, he'll figure it out enough to win four games in this series.
Well, let me say this to you. And I think JJ, matter of fact, JJ said this to me on Friday. If you would just open your damn ears and listen, I just said, I don't know the blueprint. We don't know the blueprint. I didn't say that they had a blueprint. I said that Eric Spoelstra never shows his hand. So game to game, we don't know what he has in his back pocket. I don't know if he have the ace, king, or queen of all spades. Hell, we had the
blueprint. Can I stop you right there?
I don't know. Go ahead.
Can I stop you right there? You said you didn't know. You said you didn't know, fair enough. But my ears were open enough to hear the question, and then you laughed and said, no, we, hell yeah, it'll work. And now, JJ Redick, I mean,
Keep me out of this. I'm good with you guys going back and forth. You don't need Jake. I can do what I want. I can ask what I want. I asked Molly, and I'm talking. You just interrupted me. You specifically opened the segment, laughing and said,
yes, it will work. You damn right. Now that's what you said. Am I making that up? And then I alluded
and I kept going and said, because we don't know the blueprint. That's why I said they're going to win the series.
So the blueprint was going to work because we don't know the blueprint? Is that the answer? The blueprint's going to work because we don't know the blueprint? Is that what you said?
Yeah, don't try that journalism talk on me. I'm too smart for that. I've been jumped off the porch and went across. I'm too smart for that. Hey, but listen, but let me tell you this.
Okay. But this is double talking. Go ahead.
But look, this is what I'm trying to say. We don't know what Eric Spoelstra is gonna do game to game. And JJ, I understand you saying yeah, it's going to change. The series is, you know, adjustments are going to be made. I get all that. But again, I know one thing, and I know both of y'all feel the same way. When it comes down to trusting somebody in their film room, when it comes down to being a leader, I know if I ask both of y'all who y'all trust more on that sideline, y'all both are going to tell me Eric Spoelstra, and rightfully so, because the man is a damn genius when it comes down to coaching. And this is what I'm trying to explain to you, Stephen A. The man is a genius when it comes down to coaching.
JJ, one quick comment, and then I'll leave it alone. Kendrick Perkins, the last time I checked, this is Eric Spoelstra's sixth trip to the NBA Finals. His record in the finals is 2-3. And despite his genius, he has 3 NBA Finals losses. It is possible that he's every bit the genius that you believe he is. He's clearly a Hall of Fame coach in my mind. All of those things could be true, and he can still get figured out by Jokic and lose the damn series.
Well, go ahead, Stephen A. Look at the teams and the personnel that he's brought to the NBA Finals. I'm just asking a question.
Okay.
So listen, you remove Eric Spoelstra from this sideline of this team right now, or is this Heat team in the NBA Finals?
Hell no,
they not. JJ, fix your face. I'm not even talking to you. I'm not talking to you, JJ. I know it's the peanut gallery. I'm talking to Stephen A. Okay, so my thing is, again, all I'm saying is that Molly asked me about the blueprint.
Yeah, put me on camera. I feel like I'm in the mood here. Let's spring me on camera.
Molly,
keep going. You're good.
Here.
We don't know the blueprint. Only Jay-Z knows the blueprint. Keep going, Kendrick. Go ahead.
No, I'm done, man. I'm done. Look, Stephen A. body language.
Always acting exasperated. Like you upset and you intimidated. But you ain't scared nobody. We don't agree with you, Kendrick Perkins. Get over it. You'll be fine.
That's fine.
You'll
be fine. I feel sorry for your loss. That's
exactly. You're damn right. It's fine.
I feel sorry for myself.
Yeah.
Honestly, I do. I feel sorry for myself right now. Does anyone have final words, or can I go to commercial break?
You can go to commercial, please.
Yeah, let's end this. This was really fun. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Quick takes. Here we go. Romeo Doubs told Spectrum News One, I think Jordan is a really good quarterback. When you go from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan, Aaron was a really great quarterback, but I believe Jordan can do the same exact thing. So I don't really see what's the big difference. Stephen A., do you have a problem with Doubs' comments?
Hell yes. I mean, this brother just got into the league, wet behind the ears, breath smelling like Similac. Wasn't born until the turn of this century, born in the year 2000. 5 years old when Aaron Rodgers comes into the league. And 1 year in the National Football League, one year, he's going to sit up there and say a dude in Jordan Love, who's been around for about 3 years, that hasn't even thrown 100 passes in his entire NFL career, he sees no difference between him and Aaron Rodgers. Well, damn it, maybe let's get him to the nearest ophthalmologist. Let's get his glasses checked, his eyes checked, something. I don't know what the hell is wrong with Romeo Doubs. Romeo, where art thou, Romeo? I mean, what the hell? He can't say
Listen,
stuff like that.
Listen, it gets
that.
Me fired up to watch the Packers, though, Stephen A. I'll tell you that
oh,
much.
Oh, please.
Let's keep it going here. We got another NFL item to discuss. So Patrick Mahomes will head into his seventh NFL season this year with already a third Super Bowl ring in mind. So far in his time in the NFL, Mahomes has won two Super Bowls, two Super Bowl MVP awards, two league MVP trophies. When asked if the Chiefs were in the midst of a dynasty, teammate Travis Kelce had this to say.
We're 100% a dynasty, but when you put it up against what the Warriors have done, obviously we don't have as many championships right now. So we got some work to do. I think Pat Mahomes is definitely going to find a way to get more than four championships. Hopefully I'm still along for the ride by the time he gets there.
Look who joins the party. My guy, Louis Riddick. Sweet Lou with us. How we doing?
Good, good. How are you, Molly?
I'm good. All right. Molly, I want to start with you.
Molly, you don't see Mr. Chippendales looking like a Baptist minister right now? You don't see that? You're just going to let that slide? Just going to let that slide? I'm just checking. I'm just wondering if you're going to let that slide.
You got jokes. Hold on. Let me get into this one because we got a lot of voices and I want to hear you fellas. Lou, I want to start with you. Mm. Who would you pay more to see? Mahomes or what, rather? Mahomes' magician-like throws or Steph Curry's insane shooting?
Yeah, this was a tough one, but I'll tell you what, I'd probably pay more to see Steph shoot because I think, look, what Patrick has done in the NFL as far as different arm angles, extending plays, elevating everyone around him, look, I think there's obviously an individual component to it. There's also a team component to it that I think Patrick would be the first to admit that has helped elevate his game to the level that it's at now. And I paid good money to see him, and I would continue to pay good money to see him. What Steph has done in basketball, and look, I'm not ever going to try to say I'm an expert in basketball, but the marksmanship in which he plays with, the way he shoots the basketball, the effortlessness with which he shoots it, the distance he has traveled in order to get to the point that he is at, I think is truly one of one type of stuff that, look, I'm totally enamored with Steph's pursuit of greatness and the kind of work that he has put in. And I would pay a huge amount of money to go watch him perform in person because, look, on TV it looks one way. I've been to enough basketball games to know that in order to see him in person and see him do the kind of things against the kind of athletes that he's doing it against, Molly.
Yeah.
Look, I think that truly is one of one. And look, JJ's on the panel. I mean, these guys are all on the panel. I mean, I just think that he's a special dude.
Stephen A's tearing up.
I think it's special what he's put forth so far in his career.
That you've come over to a sport. But I actually want to go to Perk here next. Perk, what do you think about this?
Lewis Wright, Steph is box office. I mean, he changed the game forever. I'm not going to discredit him. But I want to ask Lou this question. Lou, how hard is it to actually throw a damn football in shoulder pads? Just a regular throw in shoulder pads. How hard is it?
Well, no, quite honestly, the shoulder pads that quarterbacks wear, you might as well just strap plastic, paper plates on your shoulders. It ain't that hard.
Okay, but Lou, listen. An average man going out and throwing a football, trying to throw it on target, just standing is extremely hard. Yeah. On the run is another story. Yeah. And some of the passes that he's making just on the run, forget the overhead. I'm talking about the behind-the-back passes, the touch passes, the switching of the hands. I got to pay my money to go see Patrick Mahomes. When you talk about one of one, he's one of one. I got to go see that brother play. I will pay my hard-earned money to go watch him throw the damn football on any given Sunday.
Hey.
Essay?
Look, you ain't going to get any argument out of me about that. Because before Patrick even stepped foot on the football field for his first start, I said 5-6 months before that he's going to turn the league upside down because of what I had heard he had been doing, in mini camps and OTAs
right
before he even became a regular starter. I mean, I know that he's different, but I'm just saying, if I wanted to pay some, I would like to see Steph Curry shoot. I would pay big money to see him night after night do the kind of things that he is doing, given what he has overcome in his career and how he's elevated his game to the point where it's at. I'm just going to give him that respect.
Right. Go ahead, JJ.
Well, no, I was just going to say, I wake up in the morning and I get on the production calls and I never know where this show is going to go. I really don't. And we have spent almost 2 hours breaking down the NBA Finals. The show started with Perk incessantly groaning in my ear. Then he made it personal and made fun of my defense when he knows damn well that I know I stopped playing defense in 2017. Last segment, we got Stephen A. and Perk arguing like a couple frat kids. And then all of a sudden, we get here. Who is more box office, Steph? What is there to argue about? I mean, they're both amazing, but I'll go with Steph because I'm biased.
Well, I would go with Steph too. But on a serious note, I will say this to you: I'm kind of wondering who in football is box office. The game of football has evolved to such a degree, and there's such parity, and they've made the sport into such an event that you literally have to be awful for somebody not to want to watch you play football, meaning the National Football League in this day and age, and even the worst football game that you could possibly imagine would outrate almost anything on television in this day and age. What I'm trying to say is the greatness of Patrick Mahomes is not to be debated, just like the greatness of Steph Curry is not to be debated. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Steph Curry will be my answer to this specific question. But what I'm trying to say is with or without Patrick Mahomes, you are showing up to Arrowhead Stadium without an empty seat in the house to watch the Kansas City Chiefs. And the same, and you know, the only team that was really struggling with attendance was the Commanders because they had Daniel Snyder as their owner and they had to get him up out of there. Okay? But besides that, most, if not every other team in the National Football League, I mean, you got a situation right now where markets are blacked out unless you got sellouts for crying out loud. And you know they never really black out anybody because people are showing up to the stadium. They're going to tailgate parties. They're watching the game on TV. Football is religion now. So with or without Patrick Mahomes, you are watching football. That's not the case.
Thank you for
with
the
some
amazing,
folks in basketball.
Thank you for the amazing insight. Football is America's
thank you.
Sport. Great insight.
It was. You didn't think of it.
All right, let's go. Lou, it was
I already
great
knew
you.
It.
Yeah, that was good. That was
hey,
good.
You
nobody
know,
else did from you.
Perk, hang in there, man.
Yeah.
Hang in there.
Yeah, all right.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
All right, let's make some game picks. JJ, you're up first, then Perk, then SA. Who wins game three?
I'm going with the Denver Nuggets.
Go ahead.
Perk?
Go ahead.
Who are you going with? No, tell the people. Maybe there's a new audience that just joined.
I'm going with the Heat.
The Miami Heat?
I'm going with the Heat in game three.
All right. Well, I really enjoyed today, guys, and we'll be back at it tomorrow. Bye.
Oh, my God.